Welcome to the show that helps you break through barriers to achieve an extraordinary life. This is Life, Then Finance with your host, Caroy King. Questions from listeners just like you will help to foster practical solutions to issues in your life. Now, here is your host, Caroy King.
Give and it shall be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down and running over. Men shall give into your bosom. This is Caroy again. I guess you can tell where we are going with this. Today, our topic will be handling money God's way. For sure, it is a narrow path, taking the biblical principles of handling money and using them practically. Versus reading and just thinking the biblical principles are just some sort of historical document or something of that sort. But implementing practical measures to see real results. You remember, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Just by you listening to me now, you're finding the narrow path, because the principles need real aggressive engagement to produce results. Most people choose to take the easy way. The narrow way is more effective. The principles have been here since the beginning of time, and those who have actively engaged in them have real results and results to actually prove that, you know, the principles are excellent. For example, one of the foundations of learning to handle money God's way is you gotta study. You have to study and know how to. It can't just be hearsay, because it's the things you find that will produce results for you. It's not what you hear, because I'll tell you this much, we've had so many things. We are in the information age. It's not what you hear. It is what you find, what you go out looking for, that will produce results for you. God is the one who gives you the power to gain wealth. Just knowing that, it almost takes off the burden of trying to work in our own strength. What happens is, when things are not working, we start to manipulate others in order to get results. That's where the lying, the cheating, the greed all comes in. And yet it doesn't have to be like that. You were made to satisfy a certain purpose. And for as long as you're not walking in that line, there'll be an irritation. So things will be forced. If you know where you're supposed to be going and how you're supposed to be going there and know your Creator, He will show you exactly what to do, how to do it, so there won't be manipulation. For example, you will know your vision and purpose. And remember, He said, your gift will make you sit in front of kings. It will create room for you in the highest places, in the country and in the nations. And it's the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and it adds no sorrow to it. I like that part. No sorrow. When you observe most wealthy people around who are doing it through their effort, because you can really master something to the point of being very successful at it and being rich, but if it's not through God's way, guess what happens? You're extremely stressed with a lot of money. Your health is bad with a lot of money. What good is that? Your family is broken. Everything around you is falling apart. You lack time to spend with your children and family. That is not God's way. He said He adds no sorrow to it, meaning He'll show you the right way to do it, whereby there is a very healthy balance. Prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers, meaning your soul will be prospering as you're getting the natural prosperity, and your health will be good too. So it will be all around rest. I'm extremely excited about this topic. I'll narrow it down to 5 points. There are more points out there. I'll list in no order of importance. Of the ones that came to me as I was meditating about this topic, we'll start with being faithful. We all know that faith is now. It's believing in things that are unseen. It's trust. When it comes to your money, be faithful with what you've got right now. If you can't be faithful with little, how do you expect God to trust you with much? When God talks about much, you should really listen because it has plenty of commas. Being faithful with little will require you to honestly look at your money, look at your surrounding, see how you're using it. Are you reaching out to others? Are you being careless with it, spending on things you don't need, living outside of what you can afford? You know, these are all things you have to think about, and you'll have to take real practical steps to clean out and be in line. If you know you're earning a certain amount, but your lifestyle is twice what you're earning, clearly it's time to reorganize. Secondly, planning. Planning comes around to budgeting. That's the bottom line. Not many people like the B word, but how can you build a house without estimating the cost beforehand? Otherwise, everybody around you will mock you if you just finish the foundation and you can't complete it. Let's use wisdom. Above all that, let's use a lot of understanding. Get out a budget. Do the things that ordinary people don't do. Remember, you are royalty. You are an exceptional, extraordinary individual. You should be doing things that the average Joe will never think to do or will just look at and undermine. The only way to get to the mark of your highest calling is to do the things others will not dare do, but remember they are effective. So get a budget. There are templates on lifethenfinance.com. Put together your budget plan. It doesn't mean you're going to live a very tight life. Not necessarily. You can add whatever you need into that pack, into your budget, so that you can live the kind of life your heart's desire. Remember, God said, if you delight in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So he knows your desires. And if you delight in him, do things the way he instructed us to do, you'll certainly be fine. You know, that big house you've been looking at with that swimming pool, oh yeah, it's yours. And you know, that awesome car, if that's your desire, it's yours too. It doesn't mean that you won't be able to get to where you want to get. I also have to mention the seed time and harvest principle. This principle blessed me so much as I was studying how to learn how kingdom finances works. You spin your wheels because you lack knowledge and you do things really wrong, or you don't do them at all because you just don't know. But getting a hold of certain principles makes life way easier. You know, you're walking in line. With the seed time principle, it's simple. That's the beauty of God's word, the simplicity. People who overly think totally miss it. It's so easy. The bottom line is you have to sow seed in order to get a harvest, just like a farmer. Supposing you're going to plant corn, you plant based on the harvest you are expecting. Not only that, nothing is permitted to multiply until it is sown. So you have to put something in the ground. So coming back to modern language is you have to give something in order to get a harvest in return, meaning you have to have an expectation of a return. You have to be aware that whatever you plant, there will be a multiplication, but it's not us who multiplies. It's God who multiplies. There is a verse that says, we don't know how he multiplies. What blessed me the most was, I had someone use an example of two corn. If you had two corn and just put them on maybe a tile floor, they'll forever be there. You'll find them, you know, dry and brutal, and they'll be there as two corn. If you got those two corn, put them in the ground, on average, one corn may bring up three stalks. On each stalk, it may have maybe three cobs. So if you had two and you have six cobs, you have six stalks and each stalk has three cobs on it. That is an average of maybe 18. But an average cob has at least 600 corns on it. Look at that multiplication. It is insane. So the visualization of that really relieved me from trying to figure out, oh, you know, if I sow, if I give, or, you know, what happens? Will it return back? You know, you hear all the stories, but will those stories apply to me too? But the good news is this is a principle that will be there for as long as you see the daytime and the nighttime. He promised, and his word is true. He is faithful. He'll never change. That is what he said. So if you have that as a foundation, knowing that God will never change, his word is true, and you can rely on his word, so you know the principle of seed time and harvest will forever be. The thing is, every seed reproduces after its own kind. So look at what's lacking in your life. If you're lacking love, guess what you're going to do? You're going to go out and start sowing love so that you get love in return as a harvest. If you're lacking friends, good friends, quality friends, you know, you go out, give yourself, be friendly to others. Then you receive friendship back. If you need cash, find good places to give. You can start from your local church. Then you go on, however the Lord leads you, but you have to give. If you look around at, you know, maybe someone begging on the street or someone who is very broke, it's not what you get that helps you get out of that hole. It is what you give. You have to stand on that. Even when you're in a very sticky situation, find a way to give your way out of the situation. That is the only way. There is no shortcut. Most of you may be aware, you know, there is always that one person at the corner of the road who is always asking for money. If he never learns to give, 2, 3, 5 years later, you'll find him still there. This has to take a mental shift. This is how kingdom works. You have to give of yourself, give of everything you've got in order to get a return. The good thing, it will be pressed down, overflowing. So you'll always have enough to give and enough to take care of all your needs. The seed time harvest principle is not only for the good things. Even the reverse is true. If you sow a lot of hatred around, that's what you get in return. And you get it back in a returned measure. You see people going around extremely rude. And everything that comes back to them is very rude. And they wonder why. If you're doing a lot of little white lies here, a little greed, a little cheating here, it is going to return back to you in multiple measures from all corners, even unnecessarily. Why? Because the principle is true. It doesn't distinguish between good and bad. It is what it is. You see? So be mindful. Every time you find someone and you give them a hug, just know you're going to get more hugs back in a multiple situation. Every time you saw a smile out there, you're going to get it back in a multiple situation. This is requiring a change of mindset and in the way you look at everything you do, everything you touch, everything you give to others. And it will help you really excuse people's misbehavior quite quickly, because when they come and, maybe they are rude to you, you're harvesting something that you had sowed prior. That will be a red flag for you to check yourself. Am I walking in love? And am I walking in the principles? Walking with God is not to be a burden. He said, my burden is light. So have the freedom. And the more you learn these principles, you'll find so much joy because it's easy. You know, whatever you want more of, that is what you give out, and you'll get more of it. In addition, I'm going to talk about giving, how to give, when to give. And I'll mention some things that, you know, we are accustomed to, and some that I got as a revelation just on my own journey.
You are listening to Life, Then Finance. To reach Karoy King, please send an email to karoyking@lifethenfinance.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Now, back to today's show.
One of the principles in God's kingdom, it revolves around giving. Bottom line, there's no such thing as me, my wife, and my two kids, and my dog, and that's it. No, it's more of a global perspective. You remember when he said, I'll raise you above all nations. I'll make you a blessing so you can be a blessing to all the families of the earth. Isn't that amazing? So God intends you as his royal kids to be a blessing to all the families on the earth. Imagine the kind of training we have to go through to have that kind of capacity. Our hearts must be huge when it comes to love and giving of the love. We have to have a real grasp on how to handle money, because, you know, now we are talking about millions and billions of monies to take care of families on the earth in whichever endeavor God has called you to be in. So the capacity has to be really huge. That's why when God starts to impart on your heart and tug on your heart to learn these principles of how things work in his kingdom, it's not just for you. It's for your immediate family, your city. Then it spreads all the way to the families of the earth. Think bigger. Break out of the cocoon. For me, it was easy to think very broad. I was born in Uganda, as you already know. So I live in Los Angeles. So coming from Uganda, very small country, to Los Angeles, the USA, it's like, oh my God, this is huge. So my mind just became global, within a few months, because I had never experienced an environment that was so huge. I naturally am drawn to things that are global minded, global mindset, and it is a blessing. It just naturally comes to me. Every time I see a project, I'm thinking, how does it work can this project work in Africa? How does this project work in Asia? I just naturally, most of you haven't had such an experience. So this is something you have to work on, to think outside of your immediate circle. You're here for a certain purpose. It can't be that small just for your family. It's usually, you know, way bigger than who you are. So when it comes to giving, if you are Christian, I'm sure you've been already trained about the tithe. And even so, sometimes it can take a while to get a grasp on the tithe. But bottom line, in God's word, he wrote, you guys are robbing me. So basically the tithe, which is the 10% of any of your increase, it's just returning what God said we are robbing him of. The best part is, with that obedience, it comes with a benefit, with several benefits, actually. It opens the windows of heaven above us, meaning we have access. Remember when he said in the Lord's Prayer, it's his will to see whatever is in heaven to come here down on earth. So that is totally his will. It opens the windows of heaven, and it also rebukes the devourer. Oh, God, I love that. You know, that alone for me is enough, rebuking the devourer. Because who is the devourer? It's all those little annoyances that are stealing your money. The car breaks down here, the refrigerator, your kid gets an emergency accident, your health takes a dive. Those are all devourers. It doesn't stop on only protecting your money. It protects you from, it protects your health. It's protection. Anything that will cause you discomfort is a devourer from what God set for you. It's like life insurance in kingdom terms. That's how I like to look at it. When you're giving the tithe, believe me, God doesn't need your 10%. It's too little. It's too little to do anything. It's the obedience that he's rewarding. Never think you're doing God a favor by giving the 10%. Actually, when you know that you're doing it for yourself, for the protection of your family and from the devourer, you'll never get wary. You'll always know, oh my goodness, I better return the money that we robbed from God so that I'm always covered. Things will start to change, and you're doing this for yourself. God doesn't reward disobedience. If you're in disobedience, however much you are a prayer warrior, we've seen so many prayer warriors who are as broke, they are explaining away tithing. And guess what? You will remain that way because the devourer will have a field day because you're walking in ignorance. So you have to do what he says to do in order to get the rewards. You're doing it for yourself. God is too big to need your 10%. You know, it's too little to affect anything. Basically, it's a blessing if he accepts your 10%. That's why you take it there with a joyful attitude, with thanksgiving. You're like, God, thank you. Accept my seed. You know, thank you for blessing me this month. I had a good time at the job, and this is my way to show it. You come in obedience. Watch your heart. God measures the matters of the heart. So if your heart isn't right, don't even bother giving it in, because there is also a part where he has to accept your seed. You don't want to give there and it's not accepted. Make sure you're giving it in the right place also. Make sure you're checking with God where you should give it. Usually we give it to the place where you're getting your spiritual growth. Usually it's your local church. Then we also have the offering. The offering is an addition to the tithing. It took me a while to get that. So the offering is an addition to the tithing. And that's where your increase comes in. Because when the windows are open, whatever is going to be poured out will be measured based on your increase. Remember when he said, those who give sparingly will receive sparingly, and those who give bountifully will receive bountifully, and also give, it shall be given back to you. So there is an expectation. It will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, running over, and it's the men, the people around you, or the unexpected people, maybe you don't know, will give into your bosom. Usually we don't know where our harvest comes from. You know, you cannot look at your job as the source. God is your source. He has over a billion terminals to get a reward to you. Meaning, because he uses people to get rewards to you most of the at least 99% of the time, he uses people to get the reward to you, but you don't know who, you know. So your place of work is what gives you seed, Make sure you're planting that seed and do it regularly so that you always have a regular reward at all times. You don't know when you'll need a harvest. Think about giving in His kingdom, and there are different types of giving. There is the first fruits, taking care of the poor. Those who take care of the poor shall never lack, God said, and you know, He's not a man that he should lie. So those who take care of the poor shall never lack. Take care of your parents, natural parents and the spiritual parents. You know, take care of promoting His kingdom in every venture. You know, one of the standards I use, any project that I hear about promoting the kingdom of God and I have the resources, I contribute. So the few that cross my path, I know that is my opportunity to give into the kingdom of God and promote it. I'm fully aware God doesn't need my money. It's too small to effect a change in His kingdom. But my obedience is where the reward comes from. Most of the rewards are even intangible, but at some point they become so big that they are visible and undeniable to the natural eye. Be generous. Put yourself in a situation where you're the distribution channel. I always like to say that, God, use me as your distribution channel. I'll have a warehouse here and, you know, with all these channels to distribute the resources to all the places you've placed on my heart. Before we conclude, I would like to point out the borrower is the slave to the lender. It's hard for me to talk about financial related things and not talk about debt, right? Debt is bondage. If you're in debt, work your way out of debt. There are templates online. There are very good organizations out there that can help you. For example, Dave Ramsey has a wonderful class. There are classes on my website also. Get out of debt. Debt is not a sin, but it's a bondage. You're submitting to man. You're being a slave to the lender. And also, God said, He'll bless the works of your hand. You will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow from none. So if you're going to be the lender to many nations, you can't be borrowing right now. You have to break that spirit of borrowing. That spirit is so contagious that if you're into borrowing too much, your kids will carry the same attitude. Everything they'll think about will be credit card. Where can I get a loan? Oh my God, they declined my loan. Can I get the loan right now? You know, it becomes almost an entitlement to borrow. It's a bad spirit. You gotta break that. You'll have enough that you don't have to live outside your means. Remember, God is the one who empowers you to get rich, and He adds no sorrow to it. So it will be an extremely fun ride. Just remember, debt is not a burden to only you, but it's a burden to your family and to even generations after. We've seen that during these times whereby a family member passes away and leaves this debt burden to the remaining members. It's such a distaste. It destroys the legacy. It's a wise man who leaves an inheritance for his children's children. If you do it the God way, you definitely will have favor on your life to be able to leave an inheritance for your children's children. Till then, leave any questions, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you again for tuning in to Life Then Finance. Please join Karoy King for another edition next week. For coaching, booking speaking engagements, and any other inquiries, please send an email to KaroyKing@lifethenfinance.com or visit www.lifethenfinance.com. May the coming week be filled with exceeding grace and favor in every aspect of your life.